Jody McKay with you on a Sunday night here on The Fan. Mixing it up, yes, talk a lot of Astro baseball, but I did want to do a Knicks spot tonight because we've been so inundated with baseball. I did want to look ahead to the quote-unquote second half of the Knicks. Nowhere well past 41 games. Nowhere well past the Knicks contending, but they are going to finish out this schedule, and there are going to be changes at Madison Square Garden. So I did want to talk some Knicks. So we got one of the best that covers them day in and day out. He does so for the Post. Mark Berman, who's out in Chicago for the All-Star game. How's Chicago treating you, Mark?
It's doing great. It was freezing Thursday and Friday, like 3 degrees, but we've warmed up to a toasty 35. So it's a great city, as you've probably been here many times, and New Yorkers should visit. It's the second city, but it is a great time here.
I like Chicago, too, but it can get cold, and if it make you feel any better, it was single digits here, real feel yesterday. It's better today, but it was cold yesterday, so you didn't suffer by yourself, New York.
Well, the windy city. There's a lot of wind here.
Yes.
It makes it a little colder.
The wind was whipping up here in New York, but it's nice today, so suck it up, get home, and get ready for the rest of the season, which, oh, by the way, what is the timing on the Leon Rose era for the New York Knicks?
Yeah, he's got so much work to do with CAA to tie up all those loose ends. He's got close to 18 clients. He even works with guys who were no longer in the league, like Dwayne Wade, and he wants to finish up some work with Dwayne, who's retired. So Leon is a very busy man right now trying, you know, also his clients are going to move on to other agents, but mostly will probably stay with CAA. It's a team, a family at that place, but it's probably a couple of weeks. I mean, when you leave a job, you usually give a 2-week notice.
Right.
So this might be even 3 weeks. But it's a dead time, sort of, like maybe some, it's buyout season a little bit, but you did have the big All-Star break. You know, the teams don't start up until Thursday and Friday. So it's a good time. You know, it's a kind of a dead period. The Knicks may buy out a player like Harkless, but, I mean, Leon could easily be involved, and that's more of a financial thing.
Understood. And if the Knicks didn't know that this was going to be an evolving process, then they didn't do a good negotiation because you had to figure that that was going to be the case. You mentioned that Leon can have hands on stuff, even though he's got other stuff to do. It isn't 100% official, but it's all but done. So he's going ahead and doing it. Who's minding the shop?
Well, that's why it's such a tricky situation. Scott Perry, the acting president, we've reported many times he has no idea about his future. It doesn't look good. But it is a big issue because the draft, June 20th, is Leon going to keep Scott and his scouts through the draft and then they part ways? His contract probably ends after the season, and I believe that means June 30th. So I think these guys are going to run the draft, and it's a huge draft. They have 3 picks, possibly in the top 35. You know, they have Charlotte's second-round pick, and I think Charlotte has the 5th or 6th worst record. They have the Clippers pick from the Marcus Morris trade, and that could be the 25th. And then the lottery pick, which is going to be huge. Listen, this lottery is not terrific like last year, but it's still solid. And, you know, they need a point guard, and there's guys there. So, huge draft. I think Scott's going to run it. But I don't think he's going to be back for next season.
Okay. That is, I have issues with that. But we don't know that yet, so you can't come down on one side or the other. Either you come in, new broom, sweep clean, and or give the guy some latitude. We shall see. So you tell me Steve Stout is not going to draw in the draft.
Yeah, Steve's in Chicago. He was on the tech conference here, All-Star Weekend, talking about branding. Just a big faux pas by Steve Stout, obviously going on television last week and essentially firing Mike Miller, saying, "I expect a new coaching staff who will come in and develop our
very
talented
players."
You used
the word expect. I don't know if he even used that word. I think he just said, we will have a new coaching staff.
You're right. It was pretty definitive. Knicks had to release that statement saying he does not make those decisions. But the writing's on the wall. Leon Rose is obviously going to come in unless Mike Miller runs the table starting next Friday against Indiana. I think Mike only has 28 or so games left.
Who made the decision to either let or lobby for Steve Stout making an appearance on that show? You and I both know. You've been around basketball, I've been around baseball. There are 100 great people in every organization work behind the scenes who you never see, never hear about, but they're key contributors to a team's success. Who made the decision to get Steve Stout out there as a front man?
I mean, it had to be James Dolan. He's very hands-on with public relations, and he kept Steve Mills and Scott Perry silent for the longest time. When Steve Mills got fired, 10 days ago, he hadn't spoken publicly since November 10th at that infamous post-game press conference when he put Fizdale on alert. And Scott Perry, now the acting president, has not spoken to us, and which is shocking because he just traded their best player 10 days ago at the trade deadline, Marcus Morris, and we never heard from Scott Perry, but we heard from Steve Stout, and it's mystifying. It was the third interview, actually, he's given. He did talk to Bloomberg News Service when he first joined he's not full-time, he's still a consultant. But he spoke to them, he spoke to the New York Times, and then he did this ESPN appearance, which turned into a complete disaster.
That's one way to describe it, and an accurate one at that. Mark Berman of the Post covers the Knicks, covers the NBA. He's out in Chicago for the All-Star game here with us on The Fan. I'll give Scott Perry credit, just my personal opinion. I think he did well in the Marcus Morris deal. There might have been a couple of teams interested, and he played them well enough against the other. I actually thought he got a good return, and I even give the Knicks credit, and if that goes back even before Perry's time as president, you want to give it to credit to others as well. The Morris signing was a good one. Some people questioned at the time, why do they really need him? They're not going to be a playoff team. I hate, fans say this all the time here on The Fan. Well, we'll get him and we'll just flip him. And they always make it sound like it's a given and a foregone conclusion and easy. I can tell you that it's not, but that's exactly what the Knicks did. They got him, he came in, he played well enough, and they turned around and flipped him for a nice price. Who should get credit for that?
Well, not Steve Mills, because if Steve Mills was in power, he was leaning toward keeping him and maybe trying to sign him as a free agent, maybe give him Julius Randle money, even though he's 30 years old. But he's been their late-game assassin. He's the reason they actually have 17 wins, which actually ties last season's total. But, you know, that was one of the issues. Steve and Scott didn't really agree on the Morris future. So Perry, once Perry took control, they were completely full-blown rebuilding mode. We're going to get some draft picks. They wanted to get Landry Shamet, the young shooting guard who could shoot the three-point shot. They desperately need three-point shooting. They were an embarrassment in their last game before the All-Star break. I think they shot 13% from the three-point line. They're going to have to do that in the offseason and get three-point shooters. So they didn't get Shamet, but they did get a late first-round pick. They did get a second-round pick. And, well, they have the rights to switch picks with the Clippers next year, but I don't think that's going to matter, as the Clippers will have the better record. But, listen, they got something for him. It's a matter of who they pick at 25. I mean, that's the key. I mean, are they going to get a good player? They've swung and missed on lottery picks, let alone a 25th pick. But talking to Knicks scouts, there's solid players in the 20s. It might not be a great lottery, Zion, RJ, Ja Morant, but it's deep. And they could get a decent player in the 20s.
Mark Berman, our guest here on The Fan. A lot has been made over the last week, month, shoot, several months, about not only this current coach, Mike Miller, but the previous coach, Coach Fizdale, on them not getting enough out of, maybe developing enough, giving enough minutes to Dennis Smith Jr. and Kevin Knox. I don't want to give either of the coaches a pass, but neither one of these guys has shown improvement to me. Sometimes when you're in the NBA, it's really nice to say just hand them 30 minutes a game, but you have to go out and earn it and get it, and I don't know that either of these two guys have. How about you?
Yeah, you're right, and that is the gigantic issue once the Knicks reconvene to finish the season. Knox has not earned it. Dennis has not earned it. But so what? Do you still play them? Management has spoken. They traded Marcus Morris. They've given up on the season. I mean, they're probably like 6 or 6.5 out of the 8th seed, something like that. But Mike Miller is probably not coming back. He probably knows it at this point. I feel when Leon comes aboard, he's got to sit down with Mike and say, listen, let's roll the minutes for those guys. Even Ignas Brazdeikis, who's been mostly in the G League, he was a second-round pick. He's doing excellently in the G League, by the way, scoring close to 30 points and doing it efficiently. And then even that Kenny Wooden, who's been in the G League, and they signed him to a two-way. So I think it's going to be all youth going forward. Mike Miller said the other in the final, after the final game, he was very defensive. He said, listen, we're trying to develop these players, but giving them more minutes is not the end all and be all. They are still playing, you know, they're still seeing action, but there's other ways to develop them. But you know what? Once they reconvene, it's time. It really is time to start, even starting Kevin Knox. I mean, he hasn't been in the starting lineup the entire season, and I think it's time because Kevin's confidence looks just rock bottom right now. He left that locker room for the All-Star break. He looked miserable. I tried to actually stop him to talk, but his mind was on vacation.
No, see what his mindset is coming back. All right, last thing, out there in Chicago, there'll be no Knicks in tonight's All-Star game. That's pretty much a given. But R.J. Barrett did not only make the Rising Stars team, he played well the other night, opened some eyes. And we know he can play in that type of a format. Can he play with the Knicks in regular NBA games and be meritorious of where they took him in the draft? What did R.J. Barrett get out of his All-Star experience?
Yeah, no, it was a great thing for RJ to get his confidence back. He actually, his last couple of games before the All-Star break was not good. He was inefficient. Listen, it is a very low-intensity defensive type of game, but you know, what was ironic about it is he played harder than anyone, and he was driving to the basket and, you know, scoring a lot. He didn't really hit his three-point shot, but the irony was you know, he stopped Zion Williamson. He held him and grabbed him and wouldn't let him dunk. And Zion got really upset at his buddy. He was angry and said afterward, I would never expect my friend RJ to do that of all the people. But it shows, like, I even made a reference in the paper that he actually had that Mamba mentality. Like, Kobe Bryant always took the All-Star game very seriously, more seriously than his competitors. And RJ said afterward, that's the only way I know how to play. I don't know how to play any other way. But I'm hoping that, you know, he met a lot of the stars. He met Barack Obama. I'm hoping that this gives them a nice lift going into the final 28 or so games. It's going to be so important to see RJ and show glimmers of being a future All-Star, especially in free agency when, you know, players are wondering, should I come to the Knicks? And they have this building block in RJ. It's a really big finish. The Knicks really need RJ to have a big finish.
Mark, enjoy the game tonight. We appreciate you coming on, sharing a couple thoughts for a couple minutes tonight. We'll certainly talk to you down the stretch of the season.
Right. Thanks so much, Jody. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. That's Mark Berman of the Post here with us on a fan. All right, J-Mac getting the phones reopened. 877-337-6666. We put the Knicks in with all the baseball stuff we've been talking. Join me, Jody Mack, here on a fan.